Trish and Nicole and their expert guests are here to answer all your burning questions about aesthetics procedures. Candid discussions and stories of the latest trends and greatest gadgets. From dry vagina to frozen faces, Aesthetics Uncensored, where nothing is off limits.
Hello and welcome to Aesthetics Uncensored. Today you have myself, Nicole Montgomery, and Trish Hemmen, and we are so excited to have back again is Grazina Fechner, the famous front and center trainer, who is always a burst of energy and joy. And today we are so excited to learn about NLP. What is NLP? Nice ladies?
Nice lady poises. No, it's not that. Well, first of all, though, welcome to me. Welcome to you. And thank you for having me back. It's only because I bang down your door and I book every appointment I can in your podcast calendar. So you've got to have me. I love hanging out.
Morning, Grizz.
Yeah, morning. It's great to be with the gang. Like, I feel like we are the Three Musketeers and we're the cool gang in the streets. And we do talk about a lot of stuff. And today it's pretty exciting because we are talking about NLP. And it's been a buzzword and it sort of comes in fashion and it goes out of fashion, comes back in fashion again and goes out. So what NLP is, and the best bit about today's podcast, is as we listen and learn from it, you'll realize you're doing a lot of NLP without even knowing you're doing it. So a lot of the stuff that we'll talk about is simple. It's not hard to do, but there's a lot of science behind it that suggests by doing this stuff, you will be as successful as you want to be. You'll be able to achieve anything that you want to achieve, yet you're doing all the stuff already. So a lot of people have, you know, if you look on the websites, there's a lot of people that don't love NLP as well. It's like anything though. Some people like Coke, some people don't like Coke. And I mean the drinking form. Some people like, you know, dresses, and other people like pants. So when we're talking NLP, I'm not saying you've got to go and do this to be successful. I'm saying that this is a theory and a model, like all the stuff that we talk about on the podcast. This is one of the theories, one of the models. Take it what you will, adapt how you choose, and always still be genuine. And that's the thing, is when we start talking mirroring in NLP, I don't want you to go, oh, Grizz, I don't want to be like that person. We're not asking you to be. What we're saying is the theory behind mirroring can give you some really good outcomes on the other side. So that's what we're talking about today.
And so what does it stand? I mean, I think I know it. It's neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah, and so it was back in 1975. So these two blokes decided that they were going to conquer the world. And so they started talking about it back then. And the reason why, I mean, programming, if you chose the NLP language now, you probably wouldn't use programming. But how they thought about it was, obviously neuro is your whole body, right? So it's everything. It's how your body moves and feels and thinks and breathes. And then the linguistic is all the language stuff. And then the programming is saying, how can you program like a computer? Because back in 1975, the biggest buzz thing was, oh my gosh, computers are programming things and there's all this programming language. So the program came from thinking of ourselves as computers, and how can we adapt and program ourselves to think differently, act differently, feel differently, and, you know, compose ourselves differently depending on who you're speaking to. So that's the acronym for it.
Yeah, right. So is it loosely, like, is it loose? Or is it similar in any way to like body language, or does it incorporate body language into it, or is it purely verbal communication?
No, absolutely body language. And body language is one of the key things. They even talk about eye movement. If your eyes are up, you're thinking something. If they're down, if they're going crossways. So they look into a whole lot of it. So that's all about the neuro, is the whole body. So if I walk into somewhere and I'm trying to build rapport and I'm cuddling them and kissing them and touching them and in their body space, that mightn't be what they want. So I'm never going to be able to build rapport. So I'm never going to be able to communicate with them effectively, because the person's going to feel uncomfortable around me. So it's all about body language, but even the way you hold yourself and you think from a body language perspective. So if you're not feeling confident, you'll tend to, you know, become small and become insular and step away from somebody and have a nervous twitch or start swaying from side to side. Now, all of that is part of someone reading your body language and deciding if they want to hang out with you or not. So using your body language to ooze confidence, even if you don't feel it, but standing upright and sitting upright and even running. If you're going into a meeting thinking about NLP, going and sitting at the front seat. Now, most people go, oh, I don't really want to sit at the front seat because that's scary seat. That's where they'll ask me questions. But just doing that from an NLP perspective, show someone that you're confident and you're going to own that front seat and you're going to sit in it and you're going to be active and engaged in that seat. So Trish, body language is a huge part of NLP. But what it really started with, which was really interesting, was, you know, these guys were thinking, why do all people sit in a university course and they all learn A, B, C, and D. And then they leave, and some people are really successful and they find their career and find their dream job with that bit of knowledge, and others leave the course and they're not successful in that bit of knowledge, and they're not running their own companies, or they're not doing anything. So they were like, you know, the same people have the same knowledge. Why are some people successful and some people are not? So that's how the initial question started with NLP.
Okay. So just like, is it something that people can, like, I'm thinking to myself, oh God, I probably need to go out and learn this stuff. So is this like a course that people do, or it's just like a book that people can read, or is it all of that kind of thing?
It's all of that. So I think Tony,
How did you get into it?
Because clients asked me to start training it. And I was like,
so you had to learn it.
Better go and learn this stuff if people, because I often say yes and then work out what to do after that. And I think that's an NLP principle, or maybe it's not, but you know, any free opportunity that I get, I'm just like, yes, I'll work it out once I've seen. I remember when we first started Front and Center, we went and pitched a program to a company. I won't say who, because then I'm dropping them in, but we went and pitched this amazing program, and we didn't think we were ever going to win the pitch, because it was training a whole massive field force of a huge company in a new sales model that we told them that we had. Anyway, I won the pitch, and I remember ringing my business partner going, I've just won the pitch and we've got to deliver a program that we don't even have. So I had pitched this whole program that we didn't even have. We didn't even know. We didn't even have a model. And yet here I was pitching it. We won it and we were about to go live with it around the country, and it was a whole year project. So the same with NLP is, I'm like, you know what, no one's asked me for it. Same as DISC, same as anything that I've learned, or I've then gone and become accredited and learned it and then studied it. So that was how. But what I found interesting was, when you go to these NLP practitioner things, then you can become an NLP practitioner and you can have a whole business in it, or you can just use it for yourself. And I think certainly for the listeners today, you don't need to become accredited, because the stuff that it teaches you and the stuff that we'll talk about is your basic principles of communication and being successful and your mindset and the way you think about things. And, you know, if you think positive, you're going to have a much better result. If you visualize, you're going to have a better result. So they're all the adaptations of the NLP process. And that's how I started it. Yeah.
I feel like I'm hogging this conversation. Sorry, Nicole.
No, it's so cool. Go for it.
Just so I can get this out. So how can, well, first of all, I want to know how people can, like, benefit from this in their business, but also what is it? Like, how do we use it? Like, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah.
How can I utilize it today when I go out to the shops?
Yeah. Well, think about Tony Robbins, right? So his famous way of becoming Tony Robbins, and he's a very successful entrepreneur who's got a lot of money. His whole theory is behind NLP and teaching NLP and practitioners. So you can read books on it. You can Google it till your heart's content. But the basic things are all about making yourself the very best version of you, understanding how you roll, but then understanding the emotional intelligence of others around you and adapting your style to suit. So for those of us that have done DISC before, or behavioral theories, it all encompasses in together. But some of the, his one fundamental of NLP is modeling, and they call it modeling. And I don't know that I like the word modeling, because people all of a sudden think, gosh, if someone puts their hands behind their head, then I've got to do the same thing to model that person. And that's not what we want you to think about when we talk about modeling in NLP. Modeling in NLP means that if someone is speaking more slowly, well, speak more slowly in front of them. If someone's really excited and upbeat and engaged, well, then change your tone and diction to model that. If someone doesn't like personal space, model that distance between you both. If someone does like personal space, bring yourself in forward. So when we talk about modeling, it does not mean just copy what someone's doing. Look at the person that you're in front of and try to think about how they like receiving the information, how they like communicating, and how you're going to get the best interaction out of them. So modeling is a fundamental, and that's stuff that you innately do. So everything, as I said when we started, a lot of this stuff you're doing, but it's bringing it back to the forefront and going, if I commit to caring to doing this, I am going to feel better and do better. So for a client coming into a clinic, or a patient, or a customer, straight away, model their behavior. If they feel nervous and a bit anxious, don't be overbearing and run in and tell them that they've got to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to have a 12-month treatment plan that's going to be fantastic. Just calm your farm. And that is using NLP in a heartbeat. Even if someone is, you know, if you go in and you're thinking and consulting to somebody, another NLP practitioner theory is be positive. Now, you know me, I'm the whole queen of positivity, and I love it and I breathe it and I live it and I think it's really important. So if someone comes in and says, oh, I'm not really sure about this, and you go, oh, well, I'm not really sure either, they're not going to get the benefit. So it's you being positive in that space to say, you've come to me because you really want to find your being here, or you really want to have fuller cheeks, or you really, whatever the case is. So be positive about it and say, you know what, you will feel fantastic with these fuller cheeks. And this is how we can do it. It's really interesting. The language that we use, especially with NLP language, I spend a lot of time in audiology. And I remember one day, and I'm not sure if I've told you this story, but I remember one day I was in with a gentleman, and he'd had a hearing consult, and he decided to purchase hearing aids, and they were $10,000. So hearing aids are pretty expensive. And the hearing consult was fabulous. He was going to get them to do what he needed to do to be able to hear his grandchildren and TV and hear the guys at the pub screaming for the footy team. He went home and he rang up on the Monday and he said, can I have a second opinion? And we said, of course you can. So the senior audiologist came in. So the lady who we'd had was, she'd just come out of audiology, only 2 years experience. Senior audiologist prescribed exactly the same hearing aids. And he said, okay, great. And I said to him, can I ask you why you wanted that second opinion? And he said, because the language that the audiologist used was, I think this might be the right thing for you. Now, that's not positive. I think this might be. And he said, well, I think it might be. Well, what if it's not? I've just spent $10,000 and that's my pension gone. So the language that we use needs to be in a positive tone. Now, we're not saying that we can create miracles and half a 0.5 of lip filler is going to give you the biggest lips in the world. We're not asking you to do that. But if someone's talking to you, be positive about their treatment, be excited for them about their treatment. And that's the whole NLP process. So we're modeling, we're being positive. You yourself have to set positive goals. What do you want to achieve? Because remember, NLP is all about how to get to where you want to go and influencing along the way effectively. So what are your goals? If you don't have your goals, how do you know where you're even going? You're never going to be able to use NLP to get there. So set your goals. Once you've set your goals, then you know the people that you need to speak to and the things that you need to do. And when we talk about modeling, we also think about the person that you want to be like. And I'm looking in the air because, like, have that dream and that aspiration. Who do I want to be like and what do I like about them? Why do I want to be like them? What are the traits that help me get to where they are? And that's part of modeling as well. So, you know, if you want to be Richard Branson, start studying him. What does he do? What are his visions? He's all positive. He's all, I'll open a bridal shop. I don't know anything about bridal wear, but hey, I'll open a bridal shop and I'll get the people around me to sort it. So that whole process of where do you want to get to is part of your goal setting in NLP. Who do you aspire to be like? Start researching them, look at them, start to look at their traits, start to look at their body language, start to look at the way they communicate, start to look at the phrases that they use, start to look at the way they present, and that will get you on the path of where you want to go from that. Always ask yourself positive questions, Trish. So, again, going back to how's this relevant to me? Well, positive questions, where do I want to go? How am I going to get there? And when I walk into clinic today, what am I going to do? What am I going to do to change someone's life? How am I going to make them feel? You know, again, all that positivity. And then the final bit is probably having your mindset. So mess with your negative voices in your head. And I always say that if you've got these negative voices coming in, mess them with them. Like, tell them they're wrong. Sort them out. Get rid of them. Get them out of there, because those negative voices are going to be much more engaging to you than your positive voice. Negative voices always override your positive voice. Think about when you have a performance development plan and you've done 28 things that are fantastic and you've made sales and the clinic's on fire. And then there's one area for development. You walk out and that's all you think about. It's that negative voice. So you need to get rid of that negative voice. And I talk to people about the 5-second rule all the time. And I say, if I want to go up and I see Nicole in the other end of the ballroom and I want to speak to her about an opportunity, I sit there and I go, oh, Nicole's busy talking to somebody else. She won't want to speak to me now. It's a dinner. It's not really a work environment. So I don't go and talk to her, as opposed to the minute that thought hits my head, I jump up out of my chair and I start walking towards Nicole. By the time I've got there, the negative voices have gone because I'm already there. So if we allow ourselves a 5-second rule, it means the minute you think of something, you get up and you just start going, because the minute you don't, the negative voices take precedence over your positive in your brain space. Visualize really good outcomes and examine your beliefs. So that was a really long answer to your question, Trish.
Yeah.
They're the things that NLP is all about. And
yeah. Sorry.
So cool. Did you have a question, Trish?
Yeah, I'm finished. So I was going to say, it's like a mode of communication that you can adopt.
Yeah, it's like a mode of communication that you adopt, but it's all about how to, you're adopting it because you want to communicate effectively with others. So your goal is, I'm adopting it because I want to do well in life, And by doing well in life, it's all about communication. Like everything in the world comes down to communication. Yeah. So it's the way you communicate. And if you've got negative talk in your head, you're going to be more negative. If you've got, you know, not good rapport building skills, you won't ever be able to build rapport to be able to get to that next step with that person in a business relationship. So everything intertwines with that whole communication. But you're communicating because you want to do well with the other person you're communicating with.
Yeah, so it's like because I have definitely experienced that thing where you're at a conference and like, oh, I've got to talk to that person. And then you're like, oh my God, hang on, they're talking. I don't want to interrupt and all that sort of thing. And I've done both where I've just gone up and started speaking and have actually interrupted them. And I thought, oh God, this is really awkward. But then I've had those times where that, you know, someone couldn't wait to get out of that conversation as well. And they were, I was a welcome relief. Just on that, so I reckon this sounds like something that everyone should do, you know, like it should be part of the learning. Even if people don't use it, it sounds like it should be part of the learning thing for people. Do you think?
I'm an advocate. It should be your basic fundamentals because I mean, we should be learning this stuff at school. And you know, it makes me cranky because I want to go and change the whole school curriculum because I think people leave and they don't have the number one skill, which is communication. You know, they spend their life in a schoolyard not really communicating, and this is. And it's simple stuff, you know, thinking about, righty, I'm going to think of positive thoughts, not negative. It's not hard to do that. Thinking about, and as you said, Trish, just on that point of going up and wanting to speak to somebody, I'd never want you to interrupt if they're in the middle of thing, but it's just that movement of getting out of your chair and walking towards them before your brain tells you to not do it. Mm-hmm. So even if you walk towards them and they're in the middle of talking, you can just join in or smile or stand closer by so that when they stop talking, you can then say hello. But what happens is we don't even get off our chair. Because our brain's already telling us that Nicole won't want to speak to us. So it's really, I mean, NLP is all about being as positive as you can in your space and reading other people so that you know how they're feeling about a situation. So if they're really sad and their dog's just died or had to put their dog down on the weekend and you run up and you start talking about how cool your new puppy is, it's probably not great. So it's really being aware of the interaction with somebody else to make them feel good and make them know genuinely. Remember I said at the beginning, this is not to be done disingenuous. It's not to be done with intent to be fake. It's meant to be done to go, you know what, I really want to understand this person, so I'm going to listen, learn to understand, listen to engage and have an NLP discussion with them.
And I guess for some people, this would probably innately be natural as well without it being sitting into a category of NLP, because some people might kind of do those things naturally anyway, and they could
And that's what I found when I went and did my program. It was just like, you know, this is normal stuff. And yet the more you read this, you realize it's normal for some people and for others it's not. So innately the stuff that NLP talks to, I was doing before I did it, but you obviously have to go and do the program to be a practitioner in it. But I keep just trying to say these are all life skills. You know, you don't even have to define them with a name and understand the theory behind it. All you need to do is think about, gee whiz, how do I want to get to where I want to go? Who's that person? What are their traits? How can I pick up and learn from their traits and then be as successful as I want to be?
You know, sorry, Trish, did you have another question?
No, I'm done for the moment.
It's so funny because I think that I've worked with people who are obviously have either just innately picked this up or have learnt and invested in their communication skills, because I've worked with some surgeons who have done the most incredible modelling, who, you know, I can think of one surgeon who is very, very posh, very, you know, intelligent, multiple degrees. Trish, you'd know who he is at Edgecliff. And so, you know, someone who speaks with that very, you know, posh voice. And he's had a patient who was from a lower demographic who's saying, you know, my tits are saggy. And then he said, instead of saying, you know, the nipple is below the IMF line, and as he normally would speak, because I've seen him speak that way and witnessed him speak that way, he said, well, to fix the sag or whatever. But he started talking, and this whole consult was so bizarre because I'm thinking, like, here he is talking in this posh voice, but he's actually using the language that she's using. And then it's as if when she's saying, you know, how she feels about herself and what her issues are, he's repeating those issues back to her in her words, which is really bizarre because it's totally out of character. And then I worked with an ENT surgeon who used to do the same thing with children. And, you know, like, you know, how you know, you've got a frog in your throat, or the child would say, you know, it feels like I've got a frog in my throat, and, you know, I can't swallow and whatnot, because I did a lot of tonsillectomies and things, and or even just the nose, you know, can't breathe and whatever. But, and then he would use that language, okay, so there's a frog jumping around in there, and we're going to tame this frog, and, you know, and it's like, well,
NLP. Absolute NLP. And that's the stuff that matters, is even using the words. You know, one of my very senior, she's an MD at a really high big company, and she always uses 80 words. We've got this 80 words. So she always says everything's grouse and grouse, grouse, Mickey Mouse, and, you know, diggity and all these. So my emails that I write to her, it's a whole 80s language of, you know, valley girl, knock yourself out, because that's how she rolls. And you wouldn't think it. And she probably doesn't have the opportunity to talk like that with others, because they don't talk back about grouseness and stuff, but it's those little things that have the most massive impact on someone, that they're drawn to keep communicating with you because you're communicating on the same level. So they're really good examples, Nick, 100%.
Oh, it makes such a difference to the bedside manner, whether it's a, you know, practitioner or a surgeon or whatnot, because they build rapport so beautifully and so easily and make people feel so comfortable, whereas a less experienced surgeon or, you know, a practitioner sometimes will overcomplicate things, and it becomes so confusing and overwhelming, and patients just don't understand. They switch off, and then, you know, it's not a successful consult. And whereas those people who have obviously mastered NLP have quick consults, effective consults, and their patients just love them and rave about them, even if they've only seen them for 20 minutes.
That's it, because of that feel. You know, people won't always remember what they said, but they'll always make you remember how you felt. And even, you know, talking about editing your mental images, if you've got a crappy client that you know comes in to have their tox or their skin, whatever they're having done, change that mental image in your head of them. So instead of walking out going, oh, my God, I've got this lady and she's just whinges all the time and all that stuff, change the mental image and put her head in your brain of gone, she's fabulous, she's amazing, she's great, and you'll find that your demeanor when you go out to meet her will change dramatically, purely because you're changing your mental images. And that's an NLP, obviously another theory around it. But just thinking about, you know, before you go, if you're nervous about something, change the mental image in your head. And they've always said for many, many, many years about if you're presenting on a stage, imagine someone naked, you know, all that. But that's just going back to that mental image stuff, and visualize good. So go to bed at night if you're scared about something or worried about the patient the next day or stressing because you've got to go onto a sales program and you're a nurse and you don't want to do selling, visualize difference. And that's probably a really good point that NLP talks us through, is if we're scared of something. And I know that a lot of nurses, they are genuinely driven by patient care. And the minute we talk about selling, or we talk about nurses, just think, no, that's not me. I didn't join to be a nurse, to be a salesperson. So if you're struggling, the NLP way of doing that is visualizing you're not sales, you are helping people. They're coming to you for your advice. So that means you've got to share that advice with them. It's not about the selling word. Changing your mental picture about selling, changing your mental talk about selling is going to give you a really better result and outcome when a patient comes in.
Yeah, but I think if you genuinely believe in the products that you're, you know, that are out, that you have in your clinic or salon, you know, that can actually be natural as well. You know, like, you're not actually selling your, like, I'm obsessed with the skincare at the moment, and I've been using it for years and years and years, and I absolutely love it. So when I talk about it, I can talk about it with, you know, with passion and with, you know, genuity, I guess, if that's the right word.
Yeah. It's so true. And that's what, and that's why people buy. They buy from people that they like, number one, but they also buy because of the passion and the language that you use, and not forced. And if you love something, that's why we always say to people, you can't sell something that you don't believe in. You know, I remember selling many, many years ago, Ogen and Provera for replacement therapy, HRT, and Premarin was pregnant mare's urine. And I remember thinking so many people just didn't want that. And we had a girl who refused to sell it because it had pregnant mare's urine, and she tried to sell it and no one would believe her. You know, the doctors wouldn't believe her. So we took her off that product portfolio and put her on one that she loved. Meanwhile, I was selling Cavaject, which is erectile dysfunction, needle in the penis. Tell me I don't believe in that. Imagine that, selling Cavaject. It was so much fun. We had a ball. Anyway, you believe it, right?
Literally.
And even I remember thinking, gosh, diabetic patients that are young that couldn't have other, you know, oral forms, that was their only way of getting an erection. So I'd walk in and go, gosh, I can change people's lives and what they deserve it like everybody else. So if it means needle in the penis, bring it on. So if you're passionate about it and you believe it, you can absolutely sell it without feeling like you're selling.
So did you work in a clinic?
No, so I started off in pharma and looked after men and women's health. So for many, many years talking to doctors on, needle in the penis, erectile dysfunction and HRT and then everything.
Bruce is a scientist, Trish.
Didn't you know that? Yeah.
No.
And then I looked after oncology, so metastatic breast and bowel cancer for many years. And then was in my life in oncology wards and went, you know what, I'm going to do this and start training better because the way I had to learn all that stuff was really yuck. So NLP is train the way you like it. Find the people you want to be like and go and be like it. And mindset, I remember when I left pharma, everyone, my parents, don't do it. And Dean was really supportive and he's like, Grease, go and do it. And I said to mum and dad, like, what's the worst that can happen is I don't succeed in the business. And I can come back in pharma in a heartbeat because I've been there for 15 years and I love it. And, you know, I'm really well renowned in that space. And it was my mindset of going, the NLP mindset of just going, this is what I want to be. This is what I think success looks like. And this is how I can train people to learn information in a fun way. And I want to go and do it.
Yeah.
Thanks, NLP.
And it's really funny. I guess it kind of brings in bits of, like, because to me it sounds like visualization, because I can remember doing that myself and just imagining, you know, that I wanted to be this person who was, you know, slim or semi-slim or, you know, not as chubby and had this, you know, wore this dress and wore this heel. And I remember years later, it actually happened. Like, I became the webmaster for a government department. And I thought, oh, my God, I saw myself doing this years ago. You know, even though it's not NLP, it's like
that's visualization. So cool.
So I think it's kind of that NLP sort of stuff.
It is. You're doing it. And that's what I said at the beginning is you're probably doing all this stuff you don't even know that's under the term of NLP. But that's it, Trish. You visualize yourself and you just keep working and then you find your goals and you look at the people that you want to get towards and look at what they do and pick out their bits that you want to be like and then you just start modeling it.
Yeah. And, you know, you're saying you got your what was it, your certification so you can teach other people?
Oh, NLP practitioner.
Practitioner. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So people can just go and learn this somewhere, like,
yeah,
like, or can they just grab a book and read it?
Teach it,
or?
Yeah, yes, I do. But they can grab a book. It's on the internet, you know. And there's a lot to be said because, and I probably shouldn't say this, but you don't probably need to go and spend days firewalking. I mean, a lot of the NLP stuff, you do firewalking and you do, you know, things that are crazy and out of your comfort zone.
I want to do firewalking with Grease.
Go and do firewalk, put some coals down and we'll run around for Christmas with our firewalking feet on. But it's all of that stuff. So you can go extreme, Trish, of going the full NLP experience like the Tony Robbins 5-day rah-rah, change your world. And he's interesting. I've seen a bit of him and he does change people's lives. You know, there's people that have had gambling problems and they say that even though they're not addicted to gambling anymore, they've got that heaviness and they just carry it around every day because now they're working to pay off their debts and they've got to go to work every day and work 3 jobs. And the reminder of having to work 3 jobs and paying off debts is still related to gambling. So they feel like they haven't let it go. So he says simple things to them. If they're up in the audience, he'll say to them, so let that baggage go, like throw it away. And then he talks to them a couple of years later and interviews with them. And she said, you know, it was that moment where I just all of a sudden walked out of there and went, I'm not going to carry that baggage. I'm not addicted to gambling. I'm not doing it anymore. Yes, I've got a debt to pay, but I'm going to enjoy work. So I now go in the mindset of enjoying work, not saying I've got to be here to pay off my gambling debt. So that's just like that circle. And he's like, well, the bag's gone. Put a rock and throw it away. And it's gone. And so that's that whole practitioner part. So when you go into the NLP programs, that's the sort of stuff that you'll do and be experienced to. You still can do a lot of these techniques if you don't want to go on a program and you're not at that point. Buy online. There's a million books. There's Tony Robbins. There's psychologists that do it. Yeah.
You're right.
Do you have a program coming up, like in the new year?
Oh, I can do a program. Absolutely, I can do a program coming up in the new year. You and I will go and do a program and we'll try and do firewalking. But we can get one. I can absolutely do a program.
Did NLP help you get through the last 6 months?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been through the ringer.
I know. And it really did. I mean, even that part, you know, it's interesting. Everyone says to me, oh, with the surgery that we all know about, we don't need to talk about it anymore. But they're like, oh, how bad was COVID? Or no, how bad was your surgery? And I'm like, nah, there's nothing on COVID. So in my mind, I was so grateful that I'm still alive because it was life-saving surgery and it saved my, I'd be dead now. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. So the fact that I survived life was all that whole positive mindset. And I remember going into Whipple surgery and everyone being scared for me. And we only had 24 hours notice. I didn't even Google it, didn't even look at it. Doctors said you mightn't survive this. It's pretty crazy surgery. Not many people survive and, you know, whatever. But I didn't go in once thinking I wasn't going to survive. I went out planning my next week. You know, so it's that whole mindset NLP stuff. And it's just the way you view the world.
Oh, you should put a big bow on yourself for your husband this Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Big bow. Like, he, what, open me up, husband. It's 30 years of marriage in April, and I'm sure that he maybe would have liked me to have gone to heaven.
No.
We decided we just want to be friends now. Like, let's just be friends. Let's not.
True, life's too short.
Yeah, exactly. Great. It so is. You're right. So it's
so good. If someone, if we want to say, yeah, we want to do this, let's just, you know, talk about you doing course. Like, how long would it take? Like, because I don't have a lot of time.
Well, we can, you can, I mean, you can effectively do a course in a day. You can do it in half a day. Yeah. I mean, but that's not including firewalking and big case studies. They're the fundamentals. But the proper NLP programs run anywhere from 3 to 5 days. Now, a lot of people don't have that time, or they go to the seminars where you go away to a retreat. And so there's lots of different ways of doing it. But for people that don't have time, it's really just going through the fundamentals and giving them examples. So saying, who do you aspire to be like? Who's your role model? What are their attributes? How do we get those attributes into you? What are the steps? So it's really, really, really simple. It's not hard to do unless you want to become a practitioner or unless you want to go and walk on fire and, you know, push yourself to the limits that you've never pushed yourself before. So there's a lot of different ways of doing it, Trish.
Yeah, right.
We can all go firewalking.
Yeah, I don't want to firewalk. I don't want to.
I do.
Yeah, but I'll watch you do it, Nicole.
Okay. I think it's so fantastic as well to model this type of mindset for your children and, you know, the people around you, as opposed to being a Debbie Downer.
It's so true. And giving people a children the life skills at home. So instead of, you know, what were the good things at school today? And they'll probably give you the bad things and keep pestering them with the question of, okay, so that was pretty crap and you didn't like your lunch and the teacher, you didn't do your homework and you got in trouble. What was one good thing at school today? One good thing. And then the next day they'll think about that one. And if you keep on pressing on the good thing, that changes their mindset as well, which is part of NLP. And it's really, really important that as kids, the more that, I mean, their personality is ingrained from them from about the age of 3, when you talk about Freud and papers and things like that, but their behaviour is how they choose to behave in the environment. And your values and beliefs are pretty strong. And part of NLP talks about looking at your beliefs, because if your beliefs don't match NLP's beliefs, you're never going to be able to do NLP. So it's all about, you know, examine your beliefs. And what are you stopping yourself from doing by your beliefs? Now, I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking your values. But think about your beliefs. And are your beliefs are, oh, I don't ever want to impose on anybody to ask them for help. Well, if that's your belief, you're never going to be successful in NLP getting to where you want to go, because you're always going to need someone's help or to be coached. So if your belief is, I don't want to ask anyone for help because I feel like I'm intruding, you're never going to get to where you want to go. So it's really assessing those beliefs deep down in your guts and your gizzards and going, how am I going to get there? What are my goals? And who can help me get there? And, you know, people will always help you if you ask. Always ask. If you don't ask, you don't get.
It's so true. I was taught that at a young age. That's so true. You just got to ask. They can only say no. I was just, of course, while you're talking, I'm, you know, looking up neurolinguistic programming. it made me think of someone said to me this week that I don't even know how we got to talking about, you know, kids being positive at a young age, but they were saying, and I don't even know if this is on a TV show that I saw, I watched that that parental guidance. And one of the things they did was every night at the dinner table, because they sat down to eat, but you had to say three things that happened that day that were lovely, or yeah. I don't even know how they covered it. I'm just trying to say this because I'm thinking this is actually something that we should, it shouldn't just be about work. This could actually be about bringing up kids and making them, you know, become positive and, you know, confident, absolutely, I guess, human beings.
Yeah, it's a life skill. It should not just be for work. Absolutely not. It should be everything you do. And I say when I'm coaching people in their jobs, if they can't find three good things about the role that they're doing, they shouldn't be in the job. Because they're not going to be happy, they're not going to be confident, they're going to have negative talk in their brain, they're not going to visualize positive things, and they're going to be miserable. Now, I don't just say it on the first round, but if we've been coaching for 3 or 4 months and they still can't tell me three great things that they love about their job, they're in the wrong job, and they need to, you're never going to be successful and feel happy, and life is too short to be in a miserable job. But if we can ingrain kids early on about all of this stuff, they won't go into the wrong, they'll really assess and they'll visualize and go, okay. I mean, you look at this generation, they're making apps, they're making billions of dollars, they're just changing the world because they can. And they're fearless and they've got courage. And you think about Brené Brown of her courage and vulnerability, I mean, that's a podcast in itself. I don't know if you know much about Brené Brown, but
yes, love her.
Phenomenal. And she always says, do not, if you're in the cheap seats, don't you dare tell me what I'm doing is wrong unless you're in the arena with me. And to be in the arena, you have got to have courage, and you are so vulnerable because people are going to wear you out all the time. But being in that arena, using NLP of positive mindset, positive body language, will change your space in that space.
That's true, actually, because people in the cheap seats do sometimes put you down. You know what I mean? They're kind of like, they should be doing this, they should be doing that. How about you get up and go and start making a change? Don't tell us what we should be doing, but let's do something about it.
That's it. If you're in my seat and you're sitting here doing the podcast with me, you absolutely have a right to give me feedback. But if you're not, until you've done it, I'm not listening to your feedback. It doesn't mean anything to me. But that's that positive mindset and saying, and I mean, you talk about it when you're in TV, you look at how many awful things that TV presenters get every single day about them, and it's just horrific. And they just swirl through negative feedback, negative feedback, negative feedback. And I just think, gosh, until you've been on live TV, do not dare tell anyone how crazy it is, and it is nuts and it's hard. And that's why kids, young kids, if we can bring them up into a world where, anything is possible, the world, you can make the world and shape the world and change the world to whatever you want, and start mirroring mum and dad. And if they're emptying the dishwasher, well, go and empty the dishwasher and help them. Like, that's NLP. It's like, and that's rapport building. I'm emptying the dishwasher and I'm helping mum empty it. So then when I go to someone else's house after dinner, I'll immediately, habitually go and help them empty the dishwasher, put the dishwasher on after we've all had a meal. And then that rapport from that person, they want to have you back at their house. And that's the whole NLP scenario.
Yeah, my kids tend to do that for other people rather than for me.
Isn't that
they'll
interesting?
They'll be at someone else's house. Them. Yeah, and they'll be like, yes, I'll help them. Oh, they're so wonderful. They clean the dishes and they do this. I'm like, oh my God, what happened at our place?
Yeah. It's true, but that sets them up. I mean, you're giving them NLP because they're knowing that in the environment of the other person, they're mirroring that environment, aren't they?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's really, I mean, they are life skills, and the more kids that can learn this stuff, the more they won't get to our age and go, shivers, now we're trying to fumble our way through it and work out how to do all this stuff, because innately it just comes naturally.
There's a family on Travel Guides. I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show Travel Guides.
Oh, my God, I love them. And I love them.
They are so, they laugh at everything. It doesn't matter what it is, but they laugh. And, oh, my goodness, I just think I'm going to print a photo of that family and be like, this is who we're going to emulate, because they just, oh, my gosh, everything and anything, they have a good laugh and just radiate happiness and joy.
And Nick, that's what you should do. Like, we talk about in NLP, you talk about finding that person, that the traits that you want to be like, and then go and start doing them. I encourage you guys on your next family, wherever you go or however you go, show me.
Oh. This family here, they're hilarious.
They're the best.
And if that's what you love, go and be that family on your next tour or ghost tour with Elfie, like whatever it is that you're doing. Go and emulate that and you'll feel good. And that's NLP in its essence. Like, that's it.
You do remind me a bit of them, Nicole. Like, I don't know, cross between the mother and the daughter, maybe. I don't know. Because I have to be honest, I've actually watched that and kind of thought.
I love it so much. But I do make terrible jokes all the time. The kids constantly saying, oh, my goodness, just like the children on their family.
Yeah.
But, what a fantastic way to end. I feel like we should wrap it up here, ladies, on this high note.
Yes, on this high note of NLP. And just go and do it. Like, just do one thing today. If it is, as you leave this podcast, is it that you're going to stand up more stand up more straight when you go and greet somebody? Is it going to sit in your chair? If you're on a reception desk somewhere, sitting on your chair upright makes a really big difference to someone walking in than slouching over your desk, looking down at your Facebook. So, you know, if that's a change that you make, you're NLPing your guts out already. Think about when you go to bed at night, visualize how you want to be tomorrow and just start doing it.
Yep. I'm going to, let's make one now, Nicole. I've already made one. I'm doing it now. I'm going to walk around today with my tits up.
Yeah, you are. You bloody show those tits.
Yep.
Can we say that? You might want to believe that. Yeah, show it. Stand up high and proud. And that will change the whole essence of your body. Look at that. God love you. Those tits are looking fantastic. Might
pull that zip down.
You're already doing it. NLP done. That's all you have to do. And that will change the way you feel. It'll change the dopamine in your brain, and that whole testosterone versus cortisol levels will change as well, just by walking around standing taller.
When my kids get in the car this afternoon and say, guess what happened today at school, and it's always something negative, I'm going to say, what was good today about school?
Yeah, you are. And you're going to say it for the next 3 or 4 days, and then all of a sudden their brain will start looking for good and not looking for bad. Easy as that. On that note, girls, visualize certainly being like me, because I'm sure you want to. When you go to bed tonight, just dream about me or not.
Absolutely. You're the best. We love you so much. And we can find you at frontandcenter.com.au. And Mind the Gap.
Yeah, at Mind the Gap, because that's a bit crazy. And anywhere else, just ring me. I love a chat. Call me anytime. Yeah.
Thanks, Gu. Thanks, Chris. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. Have a great day. NLP your guts out. See ya.
Bye.
Got a burning question for Trish and Nick at Aesthetics Uncensored? Slide into their DMs on Instagram at Aesthetics Uncensored. Stay positive, boobs and chin high.